Bible. That's why they're here. And I pray that you would speak to every heart. Dear God, whatever the person here needs, just please give them what they need to strengthen them, to edify them, to build them up, and to make them what you want them to be. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I want to begin preaching tonight in verse number 33. The title of my sermon tonight is The Inward Man. The inward man. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse 33. The Bible reads, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light..." Notice this, "which is in thee, be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Here's what he's saying. Jesus is saying that the light that's inside of you, the Bible talks about the spirit of man inside of him is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The light that is within you, the inside. He says, if you have the inside right, if you have your whole inside lit up with the light of God, he says, it will shine outside to everyone else on the outside. Look at the next words in verse 37. I'll show you what I'm talking about. "And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to sit to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled." He's saying he was amazed. He's shocked that he had not first washed before dinner. "And the Lord said unto him, Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools." That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? "Ye fools. Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also?" God's telling us here, it's not good enough just to be right on the outside. In fact, there's something far more important, having your spirit, your inside right. He said, if your inside is light like it ought to be, he said, that'll shine forth to the whole world. People can see that on the outside. Look, if you would, just back a few pages to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 25. The Bible says in Matthew 23, 25, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter." See, that's step one. "Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," Matthew 23:27. "For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Well, wouldn't you hate that to be the case in your life? That somebody could look at you on the outside and outwardly you'd appear beautiful. Outwardly you'd appear spiritual and righteous and good and clean. But God would say what's inside you is rotten to the core. That's what he's preaching to the Pharisees. He says you're full of hypocrisy, lies, deceit, lust, filth. How would you like God to be disgusted with what's inside you? Would it really matter to you if everyone looked at you and approved of you, and the pastor approved of you, and the church people approved of you, and man could look at you from the outside and approve of you, but that God would look at you and say, your inward parts disgust me? Think about what it is to be a whited sepulcher. Think about driving by a mortuary. Usually they're very beautifully kept. If you drive by a mortuary many times, or a graveyard, a cemetery, you'll see the lawn is usually perfectly mowed. The buildings are usually spotlessly white and clean. Flowers are there. The gardener's there. Everything's nice. Everything's up to date. It's in repair. But can you imagine what's inside that sepulcher? I mean, can you imagine if we were to tonight go to that cemetery and open up one of those sepulchers and open up one of those graves and open up a coffin? Can you imagine the stench? I mean, can you imagine the smell of a dead body that's been decaying for years? I mean, that's disgusting. It is disgusting to even think about it. But that's what God's saying about when your inside's wrong and your outside's right. He said that's what you're like. He's talking to these Pharisees, these wicked people. Look at Mark chapter 7. We're in Matthew 24. Just go forward one book in the Bible to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter number 7, this is all introduction. This is kind of laying the foundation for the sermon. But look at Mark chapter 7, verse 15, and we'll see more words from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Mark 7, 15. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. Now we're going to explain this a little more, what he means by that. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, the disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart? Now later we're going to see the things that do enter into your heart. But right now Jesus is talking about physical things. He's talking about eating with unwashing hands, the same discussion he had in Luke 11. He's saying, there's nothing that coming at me externally, physically, like eating something or being exposed to, he says, that's not what's going to defile me, because it doesn't go into my heart. What I put in my mouth, chew up and swallow into my stomach, doesn't go into my heart. And so it can't defile me, is what he's saying. And then look what he says next. For from within, verse 21, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts. You see that? Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now you don't... Well, actually turn over if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And look if you would at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians 4:16, the Bible reads, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now you say, boy, that's a lot of scriptures. What does it all mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. Jesus is saying here, it's not the physical, external things that are going to destroy you. It's not me. I can't destroy you. Nobody can destroy you. You're going to be destroyed from the inside. You know, America right now is being destroyed from the inside. Did you know that? I mean, right now, the inside of America, it's not, you know, we're so worried about the terrorists. We're so worried about some nation that's going to attack us or kill us. And, you know, that eventually will happen. Mark my words, if you were here on last Sunday night, that will happen eventually, but that's not our problem. That's a fruit of the problem that's going to come way down the road. But I'm going to tell you something. We are being destroyed from the inside in America. The smut, the filth, the garbage, it's from the inside and it's just rotting and festering inside of America, destroying us from the inside out. And that's the way it's going to be in your life. God's saying here, we may be afflicted on the outside in 2 Corinthians 4. Our outward man may perish. I mean, I may eat something and it makes me ill, or someone may attack me or beat me, or someone may throw me in jail, or somebody may physically assault me, or someone may lie about me and attack me or beat me up, or I might eat something that's bad. I may get sick. I may get tired and weary. But none of those things can destroy me if my inward man is renewed day by day, it says in verse 16. You see, if the inside is right, nothing can destroy me. If my spirit is right, nothing can stop me. If my inward man is what it needs to be, my whole body's going to be filled with light, and that light's going to shine through the darkness of this world, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's going to have to be the inside that's right. You see, if your inward man is renewed day by day, if your spirit is right, if God strengthens your spirit, though your outward man perish, you will not faint, is what it's saying. You will not stop. You cannot be defiled. You won't be destroyed. Your mind and your conscience won't be defiled from the outside. It's going to be from the inside of your heart. Now, there may be bad things that happen to you in life. Think about this passage. Look at it, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11. So we'd see Jesus explaining to the Pharisee that's so worried about it. Now let me ask them, does the Bible say that you have to wash your hands before you eat? It does. I mean, the Bible doesn't say that. Okay, now if mom and dad tell you to wash your hands before you eat, the Bible tells you to obey mom and dad if you're kids. But, you know, it's not like the Bible has a commandment that says, thou shalt wash your hands with soap before eating. Okay? And so Jesus is saying to them, why are you so worried about me eating without washing my hands? When your heart is filthy and defiled? He said, this food isn't going to destroy me. It's not going to defile me. He said, it's not going to enter into my heart. He said, it's going to go into my stomach and come out the draft, and I'm going to be done with it. But what comes out of the heart is what destroys a man. The inward part is what rots him from the inside. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Now stop. That's all positive, right? But look at the other side of the coin. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better... Now that's not very positive, is it? They might obtain a better resurrection. That doesn't sound good. Some people are tortured for the cause of Christ. You know what it means to be tortured? I mean, that's when somebody tries to inflict maximum pain on your body to torment you and torture you. Look at the next verse. It says, they were stoned. Think about Stephen, stoned. Paul, stoned. Why? For preaching the truth. For preaching the Bible. They were sawn asunder. Imagine somebody being sawn in half. Terrible, grotesque, gruesome. It says they were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. I mean, they didn't have proper clothing. They were being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Why are you showing us this, Pastor Anderson? I'm trying to show you that no matter what people do to you, they can't destroy what's on the inside. Nothing from without is what's going to defile you, Jesus said. He said the things that are without a man aren't what defile him. It's what's within the man that defiles him. That's what he said. He said, you're worried about the external, but nothing can defile me from the outside. If a man's going to be defiled, it's going to be from the inside. Lust, when it conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. No one can destroy you from the outside. You'll be if you're destroyed, and God willing, you will not be destroyed. If you're destroyed, it's going to be from the inside. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 4. This is where I want to spend my time. Proverbs chapter number 4. And I want to go through this passage with you and show you something out of this passage. Proverbs chapter number 4. And verse number 20. Proverbs 4:20. Now let me ask you this. If the inward man is what's so important, I mean, the inward man can make or break you, is what he's saying. What's on your inside? And we'll get into more of that. Your heart is what's going to make or break you. He says it can destroy you. Your heart can cause you to commit murder. Your heart being wrong can cause you to be covetous. Your heart being wrong will cause you to commit adultery. Your heart being wrong will defile you. Remember he listed that list of things that come within the heart of man and defile the man? He says, your heart will destroy you. But then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he showed us the other side of the coin, and he said, your heart being renewed day by day, your inward man, hey, that can withstand anything outward that comes at you. You can be afflicted. Your outward man can perish. But if your inward man is renewed day by day, he said, you will not faint. You'll stay with it. And so look at Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 23. And here's the natural conclusion. If the heart is so important, the inward man, the spirit, if it's what can either put you into the most wicked sin imaginable, or it's the thing that can keep you going through torture, through imprisonment, through anything external, if it's going to be the make or break, then here's the natural response in verse 23, where the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we must protect our inward man. We must protect our heart. We must strengthen our spirit if it's so important, if it's everything. Now, let's start in verse number 20 and let's see how this is going to be accomplished. We're going to see in verses 20 through 26 the formula for the inward man. The recipe for the strength in the inward parts that we need. Look at verse number 20. Here we'll see step one. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. That's where it begins. That's where it starts right there. Number one, it's listening to the Bible when you hear it preached. That's where it starts. I mean, it's got to start where it's not, later on we'll see your personal Bible study and Bible time. But where it usually starts is when you hear somebody else preaching it to you. That's where it's got to start. How did your salvation start? Somebody preached the gospel to you and you got saved. You didn't just dream it up on your own one day, the plan of salvation. Somebody had to preach that to you. You know, the first step to having the right heart, the right spirit, strength in the inward parts, is listening to the Bible when it's preached. He says here, and this is a father preaching to his son, but this could be a father preaching to his son, it could be a pastor preaching to the church, it could be anybody. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now, think about this. I preach on all kinds of different subjects. I preach very dramatically different sermons. I mean, I have all different subjects. I mean, if you go back over the last 3 months, all kinds of different subjects. You know, when you hear something preached from this pulpit, and I try the best I can to back up everything I say with the Bible as I'm saying it. I don't just expect you, well, you know that this is wrong. You know what it says. No, I mean, I try to show you what it says and prove to you what I'm saying. What do you do? How do you react? How do you respond when you hear the Bible preached and it falls on you and your sin and your life? Huh? Do you incline your ear unto it or do you turn your ear away from it? Because there are going to be times when you hear things preached that are going to conflict with what you believe and conflict with the way that you live. You're never going to have strength in the inward parts. You're not even going to get to step two, step three, if you don't understand to listen to preaching. And I don't mean just listen to it like you're hearing the words, but to hearken to preaching. Now, I'm not trying to get up here and tell you what to do or control you, but I'm preaching the Word of God. My goal is to be the messenger of the Lord of hosts. I'm preaching what the Bible says. I'm telling you what God has shown me from the Bible. You can see it in the Bible for yourself, as plain as the nose on your face. But what do you do with it? Do you hearken to it? Do you listen to it? Or does it just go in one ear and out the other? You know, when I give you some kind of a warning from God that tells you what's going to happen when you go down the wrong path, when I show you from the Bible the admonition to be in church, to be around God's people, to listen to preaching, when I show you what the Bible says about clothing, does it even matter to you? Does it go in one ear and out the other? Or do you incline your ear to the sayings of this book and of the Bible and of the preacher? Are you listening to what the Bible says? Now, I'm not up here preaching my own opinion. I can't remember the last time I preached my own opinion. I mean, my opinion means nothing. And if I do say something is my opinion, let that go in one ear and out the other. But I'm not the one that dreams up these ideas from the Bible. I'm not the one that said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. I'm not the one that said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the man of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approach. I'm not the one that wrote in the Bible, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another and a book of remembrance was written. I'm not the one that wrote that we're supposed to fellowship with God's people. I'm not the one that wrote that you're supposed to dress modestly, ladies, and not flashy and flamboyantly. I'm not the one that wrote, the woman shall not wear that which pertains to the man, and a man shall not put on a woman's garment for all that do such an abomination unto the Lord. Hey, I didn't write that. Do you hearken to that? Does that matter to you? Or does it just go in one ear and out the other? You see, that's going to be the acid test of your heart. A heart that's right is a heart that's tender to the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God preached, huh? It pricks you and you decide to make a change in your life. You know, almost every sermon that I hear, or almost every sermon that you hear, you ought to walk out that door and there ought to be some kind of a change that you're going to make in your life. I'm sorry, have you already arrived? You're already perfect, aren't you?
I don't think anybody is wrong. I don't think any of us are there. None of us.
When I listen to anybody preach, this is the question that I ask, and this is the question that you ought to ask. What do I need to change? You know, I listen to people preach sometimes. I go to places and listen to another person preach. Or, you know, obviously I'm the pastor, so usually I'm the one preaching. But, you know, whenever I hear somebody preach, or whenever I listen to a recording of a sermon, I say, what do I need to change? Or else, what good is the preaching? You know, if it doesn't change you, is it entertainment? Good night. If this is entertainment, you know, I'd hate to see what your work is like. You know, if this is fun for you, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I'm entertained by preaching. I love to come to church. I love reading the Bible. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not about entertainment, okay? It's about making a change in your life. That's what it's about. And so do you hearken to the voice of preaching? Do you listen when you hear the Bible preach? And do you decide, I'm going to not be a hearer of the word only, but I'm going to be a doer of the work? That's what the Bible says. Let the preaching change you. Let God's Spirit change you. Let the Word of God make the changes necessary in your life that will make you into what He's trying to make you. So we see in verse 20, he says, my son, attend to my words, incline the ears of my sayings. We're talking about audibly listening to the Bible preached. But secondly, so number one, listen to the Bible when you hear it preached. This is how to keep your heart right, your inward man, to strengthen the inward man. And by the way, you can't hearken to the preaching if you don't listen to the preaching. And so you have to be here to listen to the preaching. And you say, well, how much should I be here? Well, the more you're here, the better off you'll be. Because the more truth you'll get, and the more righteousness you'll learn, and the more Bible you'll learn, the more that you're here, and the more you can listen to a preaching, the better. But not only that, step number two toward having the right heart is to memorize and meditate upon the Word of God on your own. Look at verse number 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Now we're not talking about any more listening with your ears. Now we're talking about a visual taking in of the Word of God. You see, we're talking about keeping your heart with all diligence. Step one here, you're putting good things into your heart through your ears. Okay? The things that you listen to in your ears will affect your heart. The Bible says, mine eye affected my heart. The Bible says, of the Word of God, of the Scriptures, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. What does it mean, let them not depart from thine eyes? It means you're just constantly looking at the Bible. That's what it says, right? I mean, don't let it depart from your eyes. I mean, I like to have Bibles all over the place. I was irritated this afternoon. You know, I couldn't find my Bible right away. You know, because usually I have, like, Bibles all over. Literally. I mean, I'll just have Bibles. Just one of them's open here. One of them's in this bookshelf. One of them's at the computer. One of them's in this room. One of them's out. And I began to be frustrated. I began walking back and forth and irritated. You know, I'm kind of sick right now, and so I didn't really... You know, you get flustered easily, and I'm walking around like, where's my Bible? You know, I'm looking around trying to find it. I mean, I didn't say that out loud. I was just thinking in my mind, like, where's my Bible? You know, why? Because I like to have the Bible always in front of my eyes all the time. I like to just look down and just read it. Huh? And then a couple hours later, look down and read it again. Or 5 minutes later, look down and read it again. Always, when I drive down the road, if you've ever seen my car, it's sitting in the passenger seat like that. To the right of me, right there. So then when I pull up to a red light or something, I pick it up. Or sometimes when I'm not at a red light. But it's always sitting in the right hand, right there in the passenger seat, just open like this. I don't want it to depart from my eyes. You know, we need to get back. You know what's wrong with America? You know what's wrong with church? You know what's wrong with people? Why they don't understand this kind of preaching or other preaching that I do or other preachers do that are actually preaching the Bible? It's just a lack of reading the Bible, just a lack of clear reality. You know what we need to get back to in America? You know what? People talk a lot about revival. You know, these churches. Oh, we need pray for revival. Pray for revival? God's going to send revival. What is he going to send it? Post office? Why is he going to send us revival? What is revival? What is it when it shows up? Huh? No, we don't need God to send revival. We need you to pick up the Bible and read it like you've never read it before in your life.
That's what's going to make the change. What we need, oh God, fix it all. Fix our church. Send us revival. Make people spiritual. God's not just going to... God can't just make people spiritual and just make our church a great church. No, we're going to have to pick up the... Hey, He already gave us what we need. The Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God. We've got what we need. What we need to do is pick up the Bible and study it and read it and fill our minds with the Bible. You see, He says, don't even let it leave your eyesight. Let it not depart from your eyes. He says, keep it in the midst of your heart. Memorize it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, we need to get back to some serious Bible reading. You say, what are you talking about? Look, the average preacher reads through the Bible once a year. You know, that's their Bible reading, 15, 20 minutes a day. That's a joke. I mean, for somebody to call themselves a pastor and a man of God and to read the Bible for 20 minutes in the day, that's sickening to me. He's not going to know what he's talking about. I mean, that's just not enough knowledge. And you know, you Christian, and I'm not trying to discourage you, Christian. You know, you got to start out somewhere. Maybe you're a new believer, or you're young in the Lord, you're newly saved. You know, start somewhere. You know, read a chapter in the Bible every day. Just one chapter. You know, just get started. But for those of you that have been saved for years and years, and for those of you who really want to grow and do something with God, you know, there was a day before the television, before all the fun and partying and excitement and everywhere to go and have all the fun, you know, there was a time when people just sat down in a chair and just lit up a candle or turned on the light and just read the Bible for hours. You know what that'll do for your life? Huh? I often wonder, you know, how it is that I'm pastoring, or how it is that, you know, I didn't go to the world and everything. You know, I had so many worldly influences on me when I was a teenager. But, you know, I'll tell you one thing. As worldly as I was, and all the things that I did wrong, I'll tell you right now, one thing is that when I was a really small kid, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, I used to sit down and just read the Bible for a long time. I don't know why I did, but I just sat down and read it. And, you know, that's what will shape your heart. That's what will keep you right. That's what will ground you in the faith. You need to just decide, and you know what? Do it tonight. Because tomorrow morning, you'll wake up, and you'll be into your rut of Monday, and you'll be at school and work, and you're going to forget what I'm saying to you right now. You know, if you're not, maybe you're already reading the Bible like you should, and that's great. But if you're not reading the Bible like you should, if you're listening to me right now and saying, you know what, I don't read the Bible enough. I'm just not reading it like I should. You know what you ought to do is you ought to go home tonight. Oh, but I'm tired. I got to get up for it. You got to go home tonight, and you got to stay up tonight and get out the Bible and just read it. And I mean, read it for a couple of hours. I'm serious. Sit down and read it for a couple hours. I mean, you'll be shocked what you learn. You'll be shocked what God will do in your life. You'll never, never, never be spiritual. You'll never be a great soul winner. You'll never do anything great for God if you're not a person who loves to read the Bible a lot. Well, how am I going to love to read a lot? Well, you start by reading a lot when you don't love it, and then eventually you'll start to love to read it a lot. But I'm serious. We need a generation to rise. We need our church to be strengthened on the inside. And it's only going to happen when you pick up the Bible and read it a lot. Lots and lots of Bible reading. Lots and lots of memorization. You know this memorization in the bulletin? Well, I hope everybody is doing this memorization in the bulletin. I mean, I hope you do this. I mean, this is what you need. Okay, this is what will keep you in church for years and years to come. This is what will help you not to be deceived by the modern, you know, evangelical movement, by this modern liberalization of our churches. This will help you not to be deceived, because this will just cut through all the garbage right away for you. The Bible. I mean, those of you who don't read the Bible, those of you non-Bible readers, those of you who come to church and you only are spoon-fed by Pastor Anderson or by other churches that you've been to, are you ever surprised as we read the Bible as a church, when we read the whole chapter as we do every service? Do you ever see things and say like, wow, man, it almost sounds like God's kind of mean. You know, and I'm not saying that God's mean, but you know what? God is very mean. Now, God's the most loving, kind, wonderful God in the world. God so loved the world. Hey, God is love. No one can hold a candle to the love of God. But you know what? God's not exactly as sugary sweet
as the world and the charismatics have made him out to be. But you don't know that unless you read it yourself. Sit down and read the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 through chapter 52, and then come talk to me about God. And don't talk to me about God until you've read Jeremiah 1 through 52. Okay? Because you don't know God unless you read the Word of God. And so, you got to get some balance in your life here of who God is. You need to understand who God is. We need a generation of Christians who know the Bible. That's the greatest need that I can think of. I mean, if I had to think of what the biggest problem is, if people don't know the Bible, and so these charlatans, these phonies, these false prophets can just get up and with fair speeches and good words deceive many, is what the Bible says. Why? Because people don't know the truth. You think Joel Osteen's going to deceive me? No. You think Billy Graham is going to deceive me? No. You think Benny Hinn is going to deceive me? No. You say, why not? Oh, it's because I'm clairvoyant. It's because I have this sense of discernment. No, it's because I know the Bible. Whenever I've been sitting in a meeting and hearing somebody preach heresy, you know what's always happening in my mind when somebody starts preaching heresy? Verses are popping in my head. Boom, 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 boom. This is why it's wrong. This is why what he's saying is wrong. Here's a verse that proves what he's saying wrong. That's what goes in my head. Remember sitting in college, you know, the pastor gets up and says that the Word of God doesn't save you. You don't need a Bible to get saved. You can get people saved with the NIV, the HIV. This is what he literally said. He didn't say HIV, those are my words. But he said, you can get people saved with a Catholic Bible, you can get people saved with an NIV, you can get saved with a Jehovah's Witness New World Translation. And he said, I could get you saved with a Reader's Digest magazine. Because it's not the Word of God that saves you, it's the truth that saves you. And this was his proof text. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And all the preacher boys, you know, I was in a class for preachers, and hundreds of them. And he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And hundreds of, amen, amen. Everybody's just coming unglued with amens. That's right, preacher, amen, that's good. And you know, as I was sitting in the chair, you know what came into my mind when I heard that statement? Oh, it's not the Word of God that saves you. It's just the truth. You should know the truth. Truth shall make you free. Now, the first thing that popped in my head was John chapter 8. Because I knew what he was referring to. I knew the Bible well enough to know he's quoting John chapter 8. And I also remembered the first part of that verse where it says, if you continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay? That's the first thing that came into my mind. I said, wait a minute. If you continue in my Word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the first thing I have. Then the next thing I did was I opened my Bible, and I turned to John chapter 8 while he was talking. And I flipped it because I knew where to go, and I knew basically that what he was saying was wrong, because the verse came into my mind, he's twisting it. I went back in my Bible to John chapter 8, and I looked at John chapter 8, and I looked at verse 30, and this is what I read. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Now, does that sound like salvation is apart from the Word of God, like he was teaching me? No. It sounds very much like believing on Jesus Christ was a direct result of Jesus speaking words to them. And I seem to remember another verse that's popping into my mind right now. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And so I'm just telling you about my experience of God. I looked at it, and then I looked at the next verse. That's what I read in verse 30. Then I looked at the next verse, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now are we talking to people that are saved or unsaved? Saved. Then said Jesus to those... Did all the Jews that were there believe on him? No. Later he's going to address the unbelievers. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. So he's talking to people that have heard the Word of God. As a result, they got saved. Now he's talking to the people that did get saved. He's saying, if you continue in that word, if you keep reading the Bible, if you keep studying the Bible, if you live by the Bible, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed. Then you'll be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Now you'll be saved. You're still saved. But he says, if you want to be a true disciple, then you've got to continue in my word. Then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me ask you something. Why am I the only person that noticed that? I'm sure there were a few others.
But the vast majority was, amen, amen, that's right, that's right. Because the people in the class didn't know what he was quoting, what Jesus was talking about, what chapter of the Bible is found in. They didn't know what it was about. They're just blindly,
I'm a preacher. I'm going to preach someday. I'm going to be a pastor.
Stupid fool! That's what Jesus would have said to him. Thou fool! Ye fools, he said. You're on the outside. You look like a preacher. You got your hair slicked back, and you got your tie on, and you got your little briefcase and your black Bible, and you really look like a preacher, don't you, you fool?
You're a fool, he said, because your inside is garbage. That's what he's saying. You're inside garbage because you know what? Something's got to be in your heart. And if the Word of God's not in your heart, a bunch of garbage is in your heart. Those are the two choices, and that brings me to my next point. Look down, if you would, at Proverbs chapter number 4. Say, oh, Pastor Anderson, you're so prideful. Look, I'm not prideful. Look, I'm prideful because I know the most basic truth of the... Because, I'm really bragging about some giant Bible knowledge that I have. Because I know that you need the Bible to get saved. Wow. I think I'm just going to pronounce myself Dr. Stephen Anderson right now. I think I'm just going to give myself a degree right now. Because I've attained such a high level of Bible knowledge. Because I know that you have to have the Bible to get saved. You know, isn't that in Romans chapter 10? I mean, isn't that like almost part of the Romans road practically? Like, you know, you believe on Jesus and faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I mean, is there any Christian alive who hasn't heard that verse? Who's been to church for more than 2 months? I'm not trying to be prideful. You see, pride would be if I'm lifting up myself, you know, telling you how wonderful I am and how much I know and everything. I'm not trying to lift myself up. I'm trying to take somebody else down a notch who doesn't even know that you have to have the Bible to get saved. And it's actually saying that they're studying to be a preacher. That's what I'm doing. I'm saying shame on them for thinking that they can be a preacher and not even know the most basic truths of the Bible. That's what I'm saying. It's nothing to do with pride. No man who doesn't know the Bible has any right to stand behind a pulpit, period. And no Christian can be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed without studying to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, period. My whole point in illustrating that is to show you the lack of knowledge that's destructive. Because if the kids in that class, and they're not even kids, I mean they're adults, you know. If the young men in that class would have known their Bible like they should have, would they have been corrupted? Would their doctrine have been perverted? Would they have been changed in what they believe? No. Because they would have done like I did and said, doesn't match up with what the verse says. He's misquoting it. He's twisting it. He's a liar. But they didn't. Why? Because of a lack of knowledge. That's why churches are changing. That's why churches go liberal. That's why people will leave here and go to some liberal church, because they don't know the Bible. That's why. But look down at your Bible at Proverbs chapter 4. It says, let them not depart from thine eyes, verse 21. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So right in the middle here of two different thoughts, we have the keep thy heart with all diligence. How? Well, first we saw two ways of injecting good into your heart by listening to the preaching and putting it into practice in your life. By studying and memorizing and reading the Bible incessantly, like for hours, not for, you know, have a little talk with Jesus. And then now we're going to see the other side of the coin, that is. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Look at verse 24. Put away from thee. Here's where we start to get out the negative. First, we've got to bring in some positive. Listening to preaching. And you know, this is the order that it happens. You don't clean out all the bad. Like a lot of people think, I've got to get out all the bad stuff out of my life, and then I'm going to put in some good stuff. No. You start bringing in the good and let the good push out the bad. Okay. So he says, first, listen to the preaching. Second, memorize and learn and meditate on the Bible. Don't even let it depart from your eyes. I mean, just read it, study it, memorize it all day long. Meditate on the Word of God day and night. But now he's saying, it's time to get rid of some things. put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So now it's time to get rid of some bad. If we're going to protect our heart, if we're going to keep our heart with all diligence, what are we to protect it from? Well, I think there's three things that we need to protect it. Three ways we need to protect our heart from the bad. We're strengthening our inner man by listening to preaching and by following what the Bible when it's preached. We're strengthening our inner man by Bible knowledge and Bible memory and Bible meditation. But now, let's put away from us the froward mouth. So now we're talking about our ears. See, we're following kind of the same pattern. Okay. First we said we got to listen to the right things. Now God's saying, now it's time to put away the froward or wicked mouth. And perverse lips put far from thee. So don't listen to the wrong things, he's saying. Bad advice. Listening to the wrong kind of people giving you bad advice. Don't get advice from people that are unbelievers. Oh, I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm going to ask somebody at work what I should do. You know what? If you ask somebody at work what they're going to say, oh, you're too good for him. You need to move out. You need to go get an apartment. You know, or if you ask some liberal preacher, he'll tell you the same thing. And you know, you say, well, who should I ask? You? Don't ask me, because you already know what I'm going to tell you. You already know what the answer is. You know what the Bible... Ask Jesus. Ask the Bible. He'll tell you what the answer is. Anybody knows what the truth is. They just want to go find somebody that'll lie to them to make them feel better. You know, they just want to go find somebody that'll lie to them and tell them that sin is okay. And so, don't get your counsel from the ungodly. Don't ask people at work that are unsaved advice about what you should do in your life. You know, Nehemiah said, I consulted with myself. You know, 9 times out of 10, you know what the right answer is. You know, and if you really, let's say you really do need some guidance or you really don't know about something, do you think maybe you should ask somebody who's saved, who loves God, who knows the Bible? That'd probably be the best thing to do. But you know, it really, if your heart's right with God, I mean, I've known people who just started reading the Bible and their heart was right with God, a heart that's tender toward God. And they opened the Bible and read Matthew chapter 5. I mean, they got 5 chapters into their New Testament Bible reading. And they knew something that preachers don't even know. I mean, preachers all over America who've gone to Bible schools and read and studied don't even know that if you marry a woman that's put away, you've just committed adultery. I mean, that's what it says. I mean, I'm sorry. But that's what the Bible says in Matthew 5:32, I believe it is. Preachers all over America don't know that. They don't believe that. I mean, all over America, they perform weddings of divorced people. And, you know, it says that it's adultery. It's wrong. You know? But you know, people who have a heart right with God, I've never had to go to people and tell them that most of the time, because usually they just figure that out. Because they just read it in the Bible. Okay? And so, don't get bad advice from people who are just giving you a license to sin. They're just giving you an out. They're giving you a cop-out. They're giving you, well, so-and-so said that I'm right. So what? Does the Bible say that you're right? That's all that matters. How about bad music? You know, you talk about putting away the perverse lips and the froward mouth from you. What are you listening to? What do you fill your mind with? I guarantee you, if you're a music listener, you know, if you're a person who listens to a lot of the worldly music, you're probably listening to more music than you're reading Bible. And you're probably listening to more music than you're hearing me preach or anyone else preach. So think about, how do you expect to keep your heart with all diligence? How do you expect to withstand the struggles that life is going to throw at you? Huh? How do you expect to withstand in the evil day, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6? How do you expect to stand up for Jesus Christ in the dark hour when it's just you standing alone for God? How are you going to stand when you're feeding your flesh and you're filling your heart with lies? With things that are perverse. Do you expect me to believe that the music that's played on this, you know, what's that station called? I see the billboards all over town. Come on, you worldly sinners. Come on, teenagers. What is it? Power 92? 92.5? Or what is it? Is that what it is?
Power 92.
Power 92. Thank you, sinner. No, I'm just kidding. Power 92. You know? Hey, I'd rather have the power of the Holy Spirit. Huh? I'd rather have the power of God. Like, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I don't need the world's power.
Huh? I don't need the devil's power. I don't want the power of Britney Spears and the power of Ice Cube and the power of Eminem and the power of all these rap artists and Lil' Kim or whatever. I don't need their power. I want God's power. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't have both. You can't have both. Your heart is only so big. Something's got to go. Put in the preaching. Put in the Bible. And get out Power 92. It's gone. Get out the rock station. Get out all the garbage. Put it far from you. Get it as far away from you as you can get it. I mean, he's not saying just listen to it in moderation. He's just, get it as far away from you as you can, because your heart is going to determine the issues of your life. You better keep your heart with all diligence. You better walk guard around what goes into your ears. See, Jesus said if you eat something and chew it up and swallow it, it's not going to defile you. But he says what's in your heart will defile you, and what you listen to will go into your heart. That's why he said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth. He said, this is how you're going to do it. Primarily, it's with your ears. Number one, that's the first important thing. Be careful what you listen to. But then the second way that things are going to get in and start to rot and fester in your heart is verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on. We're still on the same thought here of keeping your heart with all diligence. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. What's he saying? Not to look at the wrong things. You know how it says just look straight ahead? This reminds me of when you're driving down the freeway sometimes. What's to the right and the left but sinful billboards? And you got to just look, you got to get tunnel vision and just look straight ahead. You know, because on this side it's the Gentleman's Club being advertised. And on this side it's Budweiser. And you know, the Bible says not to even look upon the alcoholic beverage. Look at Proverbs 23. And so, I got to look straight ahead. When I'm at the gas station, I'm buying something to drink, I'm buying a snack, I'm gassing up. Hey, I got to be careful to look straight ahead. I got to look that clerk right in the eye, because as soon as my eyes drop, all kinds of porno is lined up right under the counter. And it is porno. Don't tell me it's not. If you tell me it's not, then we'll know what kind of smut you approve of. Because that stuff is pornography that's lined up there. Cosmopolitan magazine and all this other trash and all the stuff that's in the gas station all lined up. You know, what's this men's magazine, Maxim? You know, all the guys that work there. Filthy porno lined up. And so I got to look people right in the eye. I look at them. I hand them the money. I get my stuff and I get out of there. Because as soon as I look down, it's porno. As soon as I look over here, it's booze. As soon as I look over here, it's smut and filth. Sometimes I have to go into shopping malls. And sometimes I wonder if God puts me in these situations just to make me mad so I can preach harder. Because I go to shopping malls, you know, to do my job, because we work on camera systems in department stores and fire alarm systems in department stores. And just walking through the mall just infuriates me. And I wonder if God just wants me you say, are you going to, you know, go full-time as a pastor? You know, sometimes I think God just wants me working my job full-time. Just to put me out in the world, just to make me mad. Just to like get me all fired up to preach hard. Because good night, you walk through the mall, you better look straight ahead. Because on this side is Victoria's Secret. And on this side is Fredericks of Hollywood. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a man or a woman, you should not go to those stores. Period. You say, well, I'm a woman, it doesn't bother me. Well, do you want to look at those pictures all day and begin to want to emulate those kind of women? You want to look at those women and say, oh, let me dress like you. Let me act like you. Let me look like you. You shouldn't even go to that store, that porno smut store. You know, I'm sure you can find somewhere else to find your undergarments than one of these filthy stores in the mall. And, you know, you're walking through the mall, and over here I seen a store called Hot Topic. And I don't know what was going on in that store, okay? But it's just like black and dark, and there's pulsating like red lights. And it's like... So it looks like you're entering the depths of hell or something. I'm like, what is wrong with this store? I don't want to look in that store. I don't even want to know what they sell in there. It's got to be weird stuff. You know, and then you walk by, here's Abercrombie and Fitch. You know, you're trying to just look straight ahead. You just hear the pulsating music and the gay images are there and the smut and the filth. Hey, it's hard, but it's not impossible. And God tells us how to do it. He says you just got to look straight ahead. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Don't look at it. Why would, you know, here's what I find funny. You know, people say, well, you know, I watch TV, but I just, you know, when something bad is on, I just turn the channel. Okay, well, it's like, well, what do? Like, look this way and watch TV like this? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. I mean, the whole point of TV is that you're staring at it, right? I mean, you turn on the TV and you stare at it. And you say, well, every time something bad comes on, I turn the channel. Right after you just saw what was bad. Okay. You know? Well, that's what I do. Every time I go in the gas station, I check the magazine rack. Just to see if there's anything bad. And if there's something bad, I don't look at it. Look, you already know it's going to be bad. You know what I mean? I just check it out and just you know, just in case there might be something good. Look, you know that something on that magazine rack under the counter at the gas station is going to be bad. So you don't need to check it every time. Or you, let me guess, you're on this expedition where you just test TV every day, just to see if they're going to say anything bad or blasphemous or say anything dirty, or just to see if any women are going to be dressed inappropriately, because you just need to check. And as soon as it's bad, you turn it off. Well, your son already just saw it. Your daughter already just looked at it. They already saw it. That image has been burned into their mind. You know, I've learned a long time ago that things go into your heart, but they don't come out. See, Jesus said that when you have food that you eat, he said the good thing about food is that, you know, 24 hours later, it's gone. He said, I mean, it goes into the belly and it goes out the draft. But, you know, the thing is about your heart, it seems to keep things a little bit longer. You know, I've seen a dirty image before, and boy, it'll stick with you.
See, you've seen a dirty image before? Yeah, no, I just live in the United States of America. I've never seen anything bad in my life.
No, I've never seen it, you know, but I've heard about it. You know, I've heard a bad song, you know, with terrible things, and you know, you try to get it out of your head. It's hard. That's why God said, you got to put it away from you. Try and get it as far away from you as you can. Try and look straight ahead. He says, I know it's going to be out there. He says, I know even just you walk down the street, there's going to be a girl that's dressed inappropriately that's going to tempt you to lust. He said, you just got to look straight on ahead. Be careful what you watch. Magazines, televisions, billboards, indecently dressed women. Don't look at it, he said. Don't listen to what people say that are evil people. But not only that, look at the next verse, verse 26. Say, it's not enough to just guard your ears and your eyes, but he says, you know, in verse 26, he says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. He said, you know, be careful where you go. He said, some places you ought not even go. I mean, go into, you know, Hot Topic and say, I'm not going to look at anything bad. You know, stupid. You know, or well, I'm going to go to the bar and drink ice water and eat a pork sandwich. You're in the wrong place, buddy. And so God's saying, look, if you want to keep your heart, be careful what you listen to. Oh, wait a minute. You really want to keep your heart? Then also you better really be careful what you look at. Oh, wait a minute. You really, really, really want to keep your heart? I mean, you really want to do it the best way? Just don't even go there. You know, I mean, just stay away from these places that are ungodly. I mean, you have no business. There's no excuse for you ever to go into a bar, ever for any reason into a bar. What is the purpose? I remember we were in college and they wanted us to go preach in a bar. It was one of our assignments. I didn't go do it. I said no. And I took a B in the class instead of an A because I got deducted. Because I did, you know, we had a list of things to fulfill. I said, I ain't preaching in a bar. I said, I'm not going to do it. It's wrong. I mean, I don't want to go in a bar. And, you know, I was in Chicago a couple days ago. And I'd finished working on something, and it was about like 8:15. And I thought I was done for the night. Well, my boss called me up and said, oh, you know, one of the technicians, he's really struggling. He's working over at this job, and he needs help. You know, and so can you go help him out just to make sure that he gets it done right? I said, okay. Now, when I first got hired with the company, this is years and years back, I think. How long have I been with the company? 4 years or something? Over 4 years now. Well, over 4 years ago, I think it was like my third day on the job, my boss sent me out to go work at a bar, you know, on the alarm system. And it was about 6 o'clock at night, you know, so there are a lot of people in there and everything. And I got there and I walked up to the door and I saw what was going on. You know, there's a bar. I just called my boss and I just said, you know what? And I mean, I was on thin ice because I mean, I just moved into town. I've been struggling to find a job. I finally found a good job. But I called my boss and I just said, you know what? I said, Tim, I said, you know, I can't work in this bar. I said, I don't want to go in there and work. I mean, I just don't want to fill my mind with it. I just don't want to be in there. And, you know, he was very gracious. He said, boy, that's fine. Don't worry about it. No problem. He said, if you don't feel comfortable with that, he said, then you don't have to do it. Okay? And so anyway, this is this week, a few days ago, right? So I go out to this job. I get there. It's about 8:45 at night. And I get there, and it was a bar. You know, it was some kind of a sports bar. And it was just some, you know, it's just such a dive. You know, you can just tell by looking at the outside and just looking at the cars, right? So I talked to the guy that was inside, and I said, hey, where's the alarm panel? He said, you know, it's in the back, you know, back in the, you know, in the scullery and stuff where they have the dishes and everything. And I said, hey, you know what? I said, I'm going to pull around my car. I said, open the back door for me, because I said, I don't want to walk through a stinking bar. I said, I've never walked into a bar in my life that I know of, and I said, you know, I don't feel like starting right now. So I said, why don't you just let me in the back door? And he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. He let me in the back door, and anything that had to be done in that bar, I just sent him to do it. I just said, you know, you go do it. You know, he's, that guy's not even saved. I've tried to get him saved many times. So I said, you go do it. He didn't mind. He respected that. He said, oh, yeah, sure, don't worry about it. And so then my boss called me up, and he asked how things were going and everything, and we'd finished everything. I was just back at the panel, and, you know, he's doing everything else. And my boss asked me, he said, hey, how'd that go, you know? I said, great, you know, we're done, we're about to leave. He's like, yeah, he's like, ha-ha, he's like, yeah, you know, you probably want to get out of there, you know, you probably don't like hanging around all those drunks, you know. And I said, you know what, I'm not even in the bar. I said, I'm making Phil do all that, because I said, oh, man, I'm revealing the names of the innocent, you know. I said, hey, I'm making him do it, because I said, I don't set foot in a bar, and I'm not starting tonight setting foot in a bar either. I said, I don't like to hang around with a bunch of drunks. You know, and he laughed, and, you know. But I'm just telling you that story just to say, like, I don't want to go in a bar. Like, is it would have been a sin for me to go, like, type something into the security keypad in that bar, you know? Like, to be honest with you, I think it would be a sin, but, like, even if it weren't a sin, like, I don't really care. Like, I just don't want to go in the bar, okay? You see what I'm saying? Like, I didn't have to ask myself, is it right or wrong? I just asked myself, do I want to go inside of a bar and be around a bunch of drunks and listen to all this music and see a bunch of dirty images? No. And so this is what he's saying. And look down at your Bible at the verse here in Proverbs 4. And by the way, I don't live my life asking myself, is it a sin or is it not a sin? There does come a time to ask that question, but I really try to ask myself, what would be the best thing to do? You know, what would be the best thing is just not to go there. And so he says here, ponder. Look at those words in verse 4:20. Ponder the path. Think about, you know, things and where you'd go, and just think about whether you really want to go there. Okay. And I just decided I don't want to go in a bar. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be there. You know, I don't want to go in a casino. Say, oh, the lunch buffet is like 25 cents, and it's like steak. You know, it's like a 11-ounce steak. You know, it's like 25 cents for everybody. You know how these real cheap buffets, and the hotel room's only $10, you know, because you're going to spend money gambling and waste all your money is what they figure. But you know what? I don't even want to enter the casino, to be honest with you. You say, is it a sin to ever set foot in a casino? I don't care. I'm not going to go somewhere where people are drunk and people are gambling and people are sinful and women are dressed sleazy. I don't want to go in there and go to the buffet. I just don't even want to look at it. I don't want to hear it. I want to ponder the path of my feet and not go there. I don't, you know, you ought never go to a rock concert. Don't even go there. It is a sin to go there. It's a sin to go to the bar and the casino, because it's not a faith. It's not the right thing to do. There's no good reason to go there. You know, don't go to the bad church. Don't go to some bad church. Why don't you think about where you're going? And decide not to go there because of what you'll hear and see. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, it says in verse 27. Remove thy foot from evil. He's saying don't let it enter into your eyes. Don't let it come into your ears. And don't let your foot tread upon the ungodly places of this world. Just keep your feet out of there is what he's saying. Now look, let's finish the sermon right here in Ephesians chapter 3. We'll just turn to one more place quickly. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 16. And I'll read this for you. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:16,
that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, speaking of God and Jesus Christ, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inward man. He's saying, let God strengthen you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. How is Christ going to be glorified in the church in verse 21? Well, it's going to happen in verses 16 through 20 when you are strengthened in your inward man, yourself. When you are strengthened in the inward parts, when you are filled with all the fullness of God, when you comprehend with your mind because of the righteousness in your heart, the length and breadth and depth and height of the love of God, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, being filled with all the fullness of God, when your inward parts is right, that's where this church, now we're talking about an assembly, now we're talking about a group, now we're talking about externally, publicly, that's where Christ is going to be glorified. That's where the light that's in you, the candle that's inside of you, will shine forth like a light that's put on a bush, that's put on a candlestick and not hidden under a bushel. How is Christ going to be glorified? Through Faithful Word Baptist Church, when you and me and all of us have a heart that's right with God. When we have purity and righteousness and godliness in the inward parts, when we get out of our ears the garbage, we get the garbage out from in front of our eyes, we keep our hearts clean and pure, we watch where our feet go, and we fill our minds with preaching and with the Bible and with studying the Bible, memorizing, reading the Bible. Hey, that's how it's going to happen. It's going to happen from the inside out. Destruction comes from the inside out. Defilement comes from the inside out. Corruption starts on the inside and it rots its way out. But righteousness, cleanness comes from the inside and it's going to work its way out. Jesus was clear when he said, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside may be clean also. Remember where it starts? The Bible. The Bible preached, and the Bible read and memorized in your personal life. That's where it's going to start. And when you begin to do that step, my friend, you'll start to be able to control what you look at, what you hear, and where you go. But first, it's going to start with a lot of knowledge, a lot of fullness of the knowledge of God, a lot of Bible reading tonight, a lot of studying, and a lot of cleansing in your heart through the Word of God. Lift our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, please just help us to understand that it's not everything that's outside that's primary and principal in our lives, but it's really the inward man that needs attention tonight. Oh God, help us not to just be an outward show with an inward man that's corrupt. Dear God, help our inward parts be pure, righteous, holy, godly. Dear God, help us to keep it clean on the inside. Help us to fill the inside with the right things. Help us to have knowledge above that of a spiritual, kindergartner who doesn't even know the most basic doctrines of the Bible, that salvation comes from the Word of God, to where they could be tricked and fooled by the cunning sleight of men and crafty deceivers of this world, who could get up and spout off a verse from the Word of God, twist its meaning, pervert the truth. Anyone who even would have known the context, dear God, could have known that it was right, but there was a room full of people who looked good on the outside, but their inward man was a joke. God, please help us to be strengthened in the inward parts. Every single one of us, dear God, this church is not, it's not just a group, and it's not just one person, but it's made up collectively of our spiritual strength.